friends. I'm your host, Erin Port, and welcome to the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast. Life can be overwhelming and busy, so once a week, I invite you to join me, and together we will make simple tweaks to uncomplicate the hard parts of our life so we can spend more time doing what we love. You don't have to overhaul your life to love it, so let's get started. Welcome back, friends. Today in episode 42, it's going to be Ask Me Anything Winter Edition. I looked back and thought, when was the last time we did an Ask Me Anything? Because my goal is to do these quarterly, and I realized the last one was in episode 12 that aired in July of 2023, and it was Ask Me Anything Summer Edition. So I'm sorry that we never got to it in the fall. Of course, it's always a busy time with lots of other topics, but hopefully we get to it again in the spring. But until then, I went to Instagram and asked you all what questions you had for me. And if you're not following on Instagram, go ahead and just at Simple Purposeful Living for daily encouragement. We're also on TikTok and YouTube and Facebook. So follow us in all the places and be sure to subscribe here too, of course. But these are always so fun. And you guys ask the best questions. I didn't know what to expect. I always give a little bit of a caveat that, like, hey, I don't have to answer, but all of them were so good, I wanted to. Now, I've covered some of the questions in depth on the podcast in the past. So if you want to know more about friendship, you can look up that on episode 13 and 25. I also talked about picky eaters. So just search Simple Purposeful Living Picky Eaters for that episode. Lots of good episodes about decluttering and organization, which people had questions about as well. So I chose 15 I don't think I've chatted about before on the podcast to dive deeper. So let's get started. Number one, Jenny wanted to know what my hair and nail routine is. I'm assuming that's because you like it. So thank you, Jenny. But my nail routine is an at-home manicure. Ideally, every week, you'll be able to tell how busy we are on the weekends, whether I've painted nails or not. Normally, I paint my nails either Saturday or Sunday. And normally, my 8-year-old Lucille loves to do it with me. My 12-year-old is not as into painted nails. Sometimes she'll do it, but it's a fun girls' activity. We just use regular nail polish that I keep in my bathroom. And then we use a gel top coat that I talk about ad nauseum on social media. But here's the trick about that, by the way, is that I take that gel nail polish. It's Essie Gel Setter Nail Polish. And I take that with me to nail salons. If I'm getting a professional pedicure or a professional manicure, I just have them put normal nail polish on my fingers because I think it's easier on my finger beds. But then I have them put that gel top coat on and it lasts forever. So just an FYI, I use a regular nail polish and then gel setter top coat and it lasts me all week long. So that's what I do with my nails. I like to keep them short. I also find that makes them chip less as well. Okay, hair routine. I used to wash my hair every single day and then my hairstylist was like, why? I was like, I don't know. That's what I was taught how to do. And she was like, try to go every other day. And then the goal is to go like every 3 to 4 days. And if I like work out really heavily and sweat in the summertime, I might shower more often or wash my hair more often. I shower every day, but I only wash my hair every 3 to 4 days. And I wash it twice when I do. I wash it just with a regular shampoo. And then just to get all the gunk out. And then I wash it again with a purple shampoo, which is really good for blonde hair. It takes out that brassiness that hormones and pregnancy just have given me. I used to be a true light blonde, and my hair has gotten darker the older I've gotten. But my mom assures me now that she's older that my hair will go back to light because it will turn white as blondes do, and I'll have to low light it. So someday I'll just, you know, I won't have to do that anymore. And then I use a purple conditioner to finish that off. And I get those products from my hairstylist. It's some Italian brand. I don't know. It's pretty. It's purple. And it smells really good. Okay. In between, I use a dry shampoo. Now, you know, I was using cornstarch to kind of go more toxic. And then my friend for Christmas made me a homemade dry shampoo that consists of half arrowroot powder and half baking soda. And she said you can get arrowroot powder at any health food store, or you can just order it on Amazon by now. And then she just put some essential oils in. She put frankincense in for me so you can smell like Jesus for Christmas. I was like, well, thank you. But I tell you what, I told her, I said, I'm never going back. It's just the best dry shampoo and it smells so good. So that's what I use in between, kind of on my roots and on the crown of my head is basically. And then I flip it upside down, blow dry it a little bit to give it some volume because blonde hair. My blonde hair is notoriously limp, so I need all the volume help I can get. And then if I do curl my hair, these are a lot of details you didn't ask for. If I do curl my hair, it has to be on like day two or day three hair because my hair does not hold curl very well. And when I curl my hair, I let the curls dry before I like brush them out with my fingers and I spray them. So, and I have a very old curling iron from Target in like the early 2000s and it is burnt. So it's on one setting. I should buy a new one because I'm in my 40s. I could, but why? I don't know. Okay. And then I get my hair highlighted every 12 to 14 weeks to take out the brassiness. And I get my hair trimmed twice a year just to take care of split ends. And did you know that I never used to think I could look good with long hair? Like for years, I had a short bob cut. But in order to save money for our adoption, I stopped getting my hair cut. I know. But you do crazy things when you're trying to save like a lot of money in 2 years. And so I ended up growing out my hair and then I fell in love with long hair. So it's crazy the lies we believe. And then when we figure out that that was indeed a lie, I love my long hair. I don't know if I'll ever go back to short hair. Okay. Favorite place to eat. I promise this will move me faster. I love Mexican food. We used to have a Fuzzy's in town and they all went out of business in our area, which makes us very sad because I love a good street taco and queso and chips and Fuzzy's had that fuzzy dust. Oh my goodness, so good. But right now our go-to is Fiesta Jalapenos. I might like Mexican food because everybody in my family likes it, which makes for a much more pleasurable dining out experience. And I like any place that puts food on the table right away because I have four kids. So chips and salsa for life. And my go-to at a Mexican restaurant is the mini chimichangas with shredded beef, chili rellenos, and of course, we always get a side of queso. Okay, did you always do the simple purposeful living tweaks and want to make it your mission to help others? Okay, so I started blogging back in January of 2009. So if you're keeping track, I just had my 14th anniversary of writing the written word on the internet. Back then, it was like the wild, wild west. It really was just a diary. I'm pretty sure my mom and my husband read it, and that was about it. I did have a few faithful followers that actually are still community members today. Thank you, Jenny and Jenna. Anyway, back then, it was really just food bloggers and fashion bloggers. And when I talk about food bloggers, it was like very specific, like trained chefs, people that like were into a specific kind of diet. Like it really, what I did or do like with really simple foods wasn't a thing. And so I took a couple of classes back then because I saw that bloggers were starting to be able to make money from home. And I had quit my career, which we'll get to in a minute, and thought, ooh, while I love staying home, I loved having a little bit of an outlet, like a creative outlet that I could do during nap time. And so that's why I started blogging. And then I thought, ooh, if I could make a little bit of money, maybe by the time my kids are all in school, I could do this full time. So it took a while, but I took some classes and they said, you really need to niche down. I mean, some things have never changed. We're still talking about niches and what your niche is or niche or whatever, all these years later. But all I kept coming back to was I really liked helping moms and I really had an eye for logistics and organization and anything I did, I wanted it to just be as simple as possible. Like if I had something that I had to do, like, okay, what's the simplest way to do this? And I just had an eye for that. And I realized that that actually was like something that not everybody thought about. And so that's kind of where Simple Purposeful Living was born, just really helping people simplify the complicated parts of life. I found that, you know, a lot of things are overcomplicated if we can just like boil it down and make it very simple for people. And I found that really just simple changes, little tweaks in your life can make a monumental difference. And well, it has for thousands of us. So there you go. I officially branded Simple Purposeful Living in April of 2018. So we're almost to our 6th anniversary. And our best-selling meal planner launched in November of 2018. So it's just a little over 5 years old, which is crazy. And I have learned so much along the way. Okay, what inspired you to become an organizational expert? Or have you always been this way? Well, if you asked my mom, she would say I've always been this way. But we moved every 2 years growing up. And if you've ever moved, you learn a lot about organization, logistics, and efficiency. And I honed these skills as a child. And my mom really saw those gifts in me. And so she allowed me to help her by unpacking and organizing the house. You're like, of course she did. That sounds like a dream. But I truly truly loved it. I loved organizing a kitchen and putting things away and thinking about how a kitchen worked. And to this day, I'll go to her house and I'll be like, do you want me to clean out your pantry? She's like, yes. I'm like, great. And I realized that that was a gift I had that I could bless others with. And so I think it's just over years of learning, like, this is who I am and these are gifts that I have and how can I bless and serve others with those. So what is your career history and what other jobs have you done that led you here? Okay, so this might surprise you. I don't know. I've told people online before, but I went to college to be a chemical engineer. So I graduated, like I said, we moved every 2 years. I graduated high school. I went to my junior and senior year in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the North Hills, Pine Richland High School. Shout out Rams. And my high school counselor was like, you are really smart in math and science. I mean, I took AP classes, all those things for math and science. Even though I wrote for the newspaper and writing came really naturally, nobody ever really saw that as a gift. I didn't score as high. And I think the key was I was not into grammar. I've always been one of those people that like I can write all my ideas out, but going back and like editing it is like poking my nails, like poking my eyes out with a stick. And so I think I didn't score as high on those tests because of that. I don't know. Anyway, all that to say, the first person that ever really pointed it out, like really made a point of telling me, was my husband. When we were in college, we were dating and I had to write a paper for something and we were going to go on a date. And I was like, oh, I have to write this paper really fast. He's like, how much time do you need? And I was like, oh, 30 minutes. And I like whipped out this paper in 30 minutes. And he was just telling me the story the other day. And he was like, I was just flabbergasted that you could do that. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know. That's just like nobody had ever pointed it out to me. And so just an FYI, like I have really been thinking about that with our kids, like what are gifts that they possess that might not be like measurable on a standards test that we can point out to them, like for their future career? Because for years, I didn't think I was a gifted writer because I didn't test high or nobody ever pointed it out. So just an FYI on that. But I've always had a passion for writing and writing has been very cathartic to me. Journaling and just writing out my feelings has always been just kind of the way I've expressed myself and in talking. Surprise, surprise. So anyway, I went to college for chemical engineering. That didn't last very long. And I kind of like meandered around, not really knowing what I wanted to do. But I used those credits for a science endorsement for my elementary education degree. And I graduated and got a first grade teaching job. And Scott finished his fifth year of college in his engineering degree, which was a much better fit for him. And I loved teaching. I really did. But I've always had a knack for leadership. Like I just love being a leader. I love just leading a group and a community. Shocker, simple purpose living community. And so then I very quickly, my principals and leaders kind of noticed that interest in me. And so they really encouraged me to go back to school. So I got my master's degree in educational leadership. And I always thought I would want to be a superintendent someday, kind of go up the ladder of school education, maybe even teach higher education, school, like a college professor. But I realized I am not into politics. And I don't know if you know much about education, but there's a lot of politics. And I went into education to like really make a difference in the lives of teachers and kids and like really refine and tweak educational practices to like make them better. But what I ended up doing is spending a lot of time in more of like political situations of like, you know, policy and all that. And I didn't like it. I'd get home after Solon went to bed. He was born when I got that job and up before he was up. And I just decided pretty quickly that I did not want to do that. And so I ended up staying home. But I do think those years of teaching and then leading teachers as an instructional coach kind of prepared me for this because I did a ton of public speaking, a ton of training for a variety of people. Not always people that wanted to see me in front of them. I didn't always have the kindest reception. So I kind of started to really develop a thicker skin, work on presenting myself as a public speaker, organizing presentations and PowerPoints and writing lesson plans and all of those sorts of things. And so I always tell people that time in my life, it seems kind of like, why did I do that? And what am I doing now? It kind of led me to this and prepared me for this. So I always think God uses every thing in your life for a purpose, maybe in a different season. And I would definitely say that was true. I still use my master's degree and lots of things I learned about leadership and leading people and change and all of those sorts of things today. So, and now I have been doing this for 6 years. And I have to tell you, there are days where I feel like I'm cheating, especially as a former teacher, where we were like on contract, had to be in the building from 7:45 to 3:35, you know, could only leave if we took PTO or had written consent, you know, that kind of stuff. And now I'm like out in the middle of the day and I'm like, is somebody going to find out that I'm running errands? It's like cheating. And I oftentimes feel like what I'm doing isn't work because I love it. So much. I love serving you and helping you and talking with you and thinking of content ideas for you. And it's just the very best. So, speaking of simplifying, streamlining, and succeeding in 2024, we want to help you practically, not just with ideas, but also resources. So we created a free printable pack with decluttering checklists, cleaning checklists, and routine checklists. Grab your free, yes, I said free, pack today at simplepurposefulliving.com/simplify. The link is also in our show notes. All right. What are some of your favorite books, both fiction and nonfiction? Okay. This is hard, you guys, because I, first of all, never used to be a reader, but I got into the Karen Kingsbury, how I got into reading and then like got sucked in was the Karen Kingsbury Baxter series. I don't know. I think there was like at this point, like 30 books, but go all the way back to the beginning. She has like a list on her website, but that's kind of where I got started. Another fan favorite of mine all time is Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers. Excellent book. This year I've read One True Loves, which is really good. And In 5 Years, which I loved. And so I'm reading Firefly Lane by Kristen Hannah right now. I just love reading books. I've read the Virgin River series and the Wind Calls the Heart series. Just lots. I love series mostly just because I get into a book and all the characters and I just have a hard time saying goodbye to them. Like I'm like, how are they doing? I want to know. Even if they're a backdrop character, I just want to know that they're okay. So I love series for that reason. And nonfiction books, anything that has to do with what I talk about, I'm super fascinated by. So I just read Habits of the Household. I read Atomic Habits. I've read Emily Lay's books, A Simplified Life, The Lazy Genius Way. Anything. I love any of those kind of books. I learn a little bit of wisdom. Crystal Payne's books, The Love-Centered Parent and Time Saving Mom, all great books. So that's kind of in a nutshell. Okay. What is your go-to for feeding large groups? Walking tacos. So easy. I make it bar style. Heavy appetizers where everyone brings something. Just because you're hosting doesn't mean you need to do all the food, and people around, at least in the Midwest, are always happy to bring things. So appetizers, or I just get to-go pizza, especially with teenagers. I just buy a bunch of pizzas. They're happy. And honestly, it's great. Sometimes I'll make like puppy chow or some frozen or like take and bake cookies. Simple, right? My thing is always about remembering your why. And my why is connecting with people. Food is the conduit to connection. So I just try to keep it simple so that we can connect and enjoy each other without me feeling overwhelmed. So when in doubt, it doesn't have to be fancy to feed your friends and family. Okay, how do you suggest someone gets motivated? And then somebody else asked, how do you get going as a procrastinator? I think there's always a little bit of procrastination in all of us, right? But I always equate it to like when you ride a bike, the hardest part of anything is riding a bike. And Newton even talks about this in his law of motion. Basically, like the hardest part of starting a bike or riding a bike is getting started, like that first pedal, like balancing and then taking that first swipe. Once you get going, the momentum will carry you. The pedaling doesn't feel so hard. And so I always tell people, try to find something simple to show up to your day for on purpose. So for me, that's getting a cup of coffee right away, getting out of bed. Like I love that. Like that's my go-to. So, and that gets me out of bed in the morning, but it's relatively low stakes, right? Like I'm just literally getting out of bed and walking to the coffee machine, but I've gotten up and I've gotten my day started. Or I love making my bed because it takes a grand total of like 1 minute and 30 seconds. Yes, I've timed myself, but it kind of gets me going. So is there something you can do to get you started and get you moving out the door? Another thing I like to do is do a brain dump so that I have like everything that I need to get done for the day. And then I prioritize it. Like what must get done that goes in category one, what, you know, and then I try to batch like things. So like, you know, if I have to do a bunch of things in the kitchen, I'll do that, you know, and then I'll go to the, you know, do a bunch of like computer work, emails, phone calls, whatever. That just kind of helps me. And then I have a list basically of like, this is what I need to do today. And then I just go through because there's nothing better than crossing off the list. And then I always say, put your phone on do not disturb or focus so you don't get distracted, and set a timer. I think 20-minute timers, forcing yourself just saying like, okay, I'm going to get something done for 20 minutes. And it's amazing how much you can get done. It really is helpful. Okay. How do you tackle storage in a small house? Okay, so we could talk about this for a whole podcast, but I'm going to give you two ideas. Number one, think outside the box. When we lived in our first house, we had much smaller space and we turned an underutilized coat closet in our front entry into a toy closet because we just never hung up coats. And then I just got like a hall tree to hang up coats. And then we didn't have a mud room or anywhere to put our clothes by our back or coats and shoes by the back door. So we just had a door to our basement right by our back door, and I put hooks, and then we mounted shoe racks on that wall so that we basically turned our downstairs hallway into our mudroom. So just little things like that. Can you convert some furniture into like multifunctional? Like I have a trunk in my living room that could easily house things if you need them, like, you know, games or whatever. And then the other thing I'd say is just ruthlessly declutter and live within the boundaries you have. I know that's hard, but there's a benefit to smaller spaces because you simply can't have as much, and you have to be ruthlessly honest about what you actually need. And for most of us, we need a lot less than we actually need. And if we live within the boundaries, it's going to be so helpful. So I'd say those three things. But again, I could talk about that more in a whole podcast. Okay. Another question somebody asked is, do you enjoy traveling outside of the country? Yes. And then somebody also asked, you spent part of your childhood in Switzerland. How did you get back here? So let me answer. Because the reason I love traveling outside of the country is because I did spend part of my childhood in Switzerland. My dad's job took us there. We have the best memories. I student taught in Rome because I wanted to go back. Somebody just asked me the other day, like, would you live overseas if you could? And I said, I would. It's not feasible for my family with my husband's job, but I love just allowing our kids to see other cultures, experience the world. There's just so much out there and it's different. And I think it's good to have a global perspective and just see the world that God has created. We went to Europe this summer to see my sister. I just went to see my sister in February to see the twins that she just had. And then a bucket list, like what we're saving for, to kind of put it on our long range, but shorter term range financial goals that I talked about in our No Spend Challenge episode, is we want to go to Italy as a family before our oldest graduates. So within the next 4 years, we'd like to save money and go to Italy. I, like I said, student taught in Rome, and I just fell in love with that country and would love to just explore with my family. So that's kind of the long range plan, or the short range plan, if you will. Okay. How did you get Scott on board with helping you around the house? Okay. So we had to have some honest conversations. I would say communicate. We assume they know what we're thinking, and we've talked about this before, but assuming it makes a out of you and me. And so I think it's just really important to communicate what we're thinking. My job went from hobby in 2009 to part-time job somewhere between 2018 and now full-time job in 2024. And so it was a very slow evolution. So for a long time, I was able to handle everything. My kids were still at home. Our evenings were slower. But that kind of has changed and evolved over time. And when Scott would try to help me in the beginning, I assumed it was because he thought I wasn't doing a good job at my job. And so having that conversation with him, like, that wasn't his assumption. His assumption was, I see that you're busy and you're doing a really good job, but I can help lighten your load. And so communicating that was really good, and allowing him to help me, and allowing him to help me in his way, because he would try to help me and I'd be like, you're doing it wrong. And he's like, well, I'm not going to help you then. Right. And so I think that's a common problem for a lot of us. So accepting his help with grace and not expecting him to do it the way I would do it. But I realize now there is great power in delegation. I would be drowning today if my husband and my kids didn't help. Like, I've given my kids, now they fold their own laundry and put their own laundry away, and they're unloading the dishwasher and they're putting their own dishes in the dishwasher. Like, those little things, they add up. Like, just even listing them out doesn't seem like that much, but you think about all the little things that you do for your family throughout the day and how that can just add to your plate. And if we say, you know what, actually, can you do that? And that would help lighten my load. And I always say the perspective is, we're not just raising kids, we're raising future adults. And so we don't have to feel guilty about asking our kids to help us, because they need to know these life skills. These are opportunities for them to learn these skills that they're going to take with them into adulthood. So I would just say, communicate, 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 ask for help, accept help with grace, and don't assume that they're just helping you because you're falling down at your job. Maybe I'm the only one that believes that lie, but that was kind of important for me to realize. Okay, what does your daily devotion time look like in the morning? So I get up in the morning and I get my coffee and then I sit down, and right now I've been writing in my Simple Purposeful Living Gratitude Journal. You can get it at shop.simplepurposefulliving.com, and you can use code podcast for 10% off your order. But I love doing that, just kind of reflecting on the past day, giving my gratitude to the Lord. And then I've been reading a devotional by Billy Graham. It's called Unto the Hills. It's just like a one-page devotional. And then right now I have been reading through the Psalms. I memorized Psalm 23. So I just spent a lot of time, like a whole week, just really diving into, what does Psalm 23 look like? What are the promises and the truths in that scripture? Kind of just like, what are the words? It was really good. And now I'm in Psalm 119, and I'm just reading a part of Psalm 119 every day. I'm just kind of going slowly. There's a couple of ways you can, you know, you can read the Bible like large chunks. And sometimes I just want to savor the Bible and read small chunks, and that's okay. And then I finish my time praying, and I have this little prayer booklet of like my relationship with Christ, like things I'm praying for in that, my relationship with my family, so things I'm praying for with my kids and my husband and how I can be a good mom, you know, and then my immediate family, but like extended family and friends, community, how can I be praying for them? And then like the global community things that, and then my career. So I kind of go through each of those and just pray over that every single day. It's just really good to do that. So that's kind of what it looks like. I would say on any given day, I get up at like 6:20 and I'm done normally by 7, but my kids are older. So my two older ones get up at like 6:35, but they do their own thing. And then I get my little two up around 7:15. So I give myself plenty of time, but again, they're all older and I get to start my day a little later. So give yourself, don't compare, right? You can, you know, I don't want you to compare. Okay. What is your go-to meal to take to someone in need? I would say soup. Chicken tortilla or chicken wild rice are two of my favorites. The chicken tortilla soup is in our 30 Days, 30 Meals cookbook, and our chicken wild rice soup is in our Simple Purposeful Kitchen cookbook. And I would take chicken tortilla soup to somebody that maybe had a dairy allergy, because there's no dairy in that, and chicken wild rice soup if somebody was more sensitive to beans and spice. It's, chicken tortilla soup is not spicy, but you know, just depending. And then I would take some bread, maybe a salad kit, some fruit, some sort of simple dessert. And then I always take paper plates, napkins, and silverware with a little tag that says, let me do the dishes. Because somebody did that for me when I had a baby, and it was the nicest treat because we didn't have to clean up the kitchen and I didn't feel bad because they brought them. So that was kind of a nice little addition. Okay. Back to the, you said you lived in Switzerland. How did you get to Iowa? Well, I think I kind of explained it. We moved every 2 years growing up. I graduated high school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I came to Iowa State because it has a really good engineering school. But my parents, knowing me, knew that Iowa State had lots of options should I change my mind. And I absolutely loved my experience at Iowa State, not just because I met my husband, but I absolutely loved my college experience. And my mom, my dad, my sister, my cousin all went to Iowa State. And then my husband's family, every family member in his immediate family went there, including his mom and his dad. His uncles went there and his grandparents went there. So lots and lots of alum have gone to Iowa State. So we're huge Cyclone fans. Okay, last question. And I thought this was an interesting thing. Sharing about kids online seems to be a big topic these days. What are your thoughts on this? So I clarified because I was like, what is she talking about? But basically, like, what do you feel comfortable sharing? Should we be sharing our kids at all online? And so my philosophy has always been I don't share anything disparaging about my kids online because I don't want them to have a footprint that they're not going to, that is going to come back to bite them someday in the future with an employer or future spouse. Like, you know, you just don't want your dirty laundry hanging out, and that's not up for them. I also share a lot less of my kids the older they get. I have kids, their friends now follow me online. And so I'm really careful about what I share because their friends are seeing it, right? And middle school and high school is hard enough, not to mention that your mom is online and she's sharing about your life and what do you want her to share about. I always, and it's funny, I was just thinking about this. I always ask my kids before I post, and they will always tell me, like, Mom, don't post that. But they haven't said that as much lately. I think it's because we have established that trust. Like, they know that I'm not going to post. And I'm really careful about not being online on the weekends because they're older and I just want to enjoy that time with them without thinking of like content creation. I have shared their names online. There's pictures of them online. Actually, you might find this interesting. I share very rarely on my personal Facebook and Instagram. I can't even tell you. It might have been the beginning of the school year that I shared my last photograph of them on my personal Facebook. I just, because I do this for a living, I just don't spend a lot of time on my personal pages. So there's not a lot of evidence of them out there. And I have to laugh at myself like 12 years ago on Facebook. Like nobody cared, like, you know, where I was going. Just the things that I used to share make me laugh. But anyway, so I think, you know, my sister and I even differ this a little bit because she does not share her kids' names exactly, you know, all those sorts of things. And I have, probably because, and here's why, she's newer to this space. When I started in 2009, we weren't necessarily thinking about those things. So they already were online. So like retracting that was going to be hard. But like I said, I'm very careful about, you know, I never post live. Whenever you see someplace that I've been, I always record it just because for safety purposes, I think it's better. So I learned that from somebody else and I thought it was so wise. So I just take video and then share it later. And like I said, I never talk about them disparagingly. Always ask them if they want to share. People have disagreed with me about sharing Quincy's adoption story. Whenever I'm in doubt, I ask a few trusted individuals in my life, like, what do you think? If I'm like, oh, what do you think about this? Can you check before I post it? Like, what do you think? Do you, you know, and I ask my husband and I ask my sister. Those are kind of my go-to because they'll tell me the honest truth and they'll see it from a different perspective than me. And so that's what I do if I'm not sure. So, okay, this has become super duper long, which is why I normally have a podcast script because I can just get long-winded. But hopefully this has been fun. You've learned some new things about me, found some new tips and tricks and tweaks. So your practical takeaway this week is just to, you know, I don't know. There is no practical takeaway this week. If you got it to this point, well, good job. Maybe it's to go back and listen to a podcast episode of a topic that I didn't address that we have, because there are 41 podcast episodes now, which is crazy. We've almost been doing this for a year. But until next time, friends, remember, a simple purpose life really means you don't have to overhaul your life to love it. You can really make one tweak at a time. And I have bet my career on this, spent the last 6 years diving into this, and I absolutely love serving you. Until next time, hopefully we do a spring edition. We shall see. Have a good week. Thanks for tuning in to the Simple Purposeful Living podcast. If you liked this episode, it would mean so much if you'd share it with a friend or leave a quick rating and review so others can find our show. Until next time, you can find me at Simple Purposeful Living on Instagram and Facebook for some more encouragement and practical tips. You get one life, so let's enjoy it on purpose. Until next time, bye.